This is the last time we'll be meeting.
You don't listen, do you? You just ask the same questions every week. How's your job? Are you having any negative thoughts? All I have are negative thoughts.
I'm already going to have nightmares just from the trailer.
Oh!
Haunting.
That's the Joker right there. Richard Roper is here. He's going to review it for us. Richard Roper's reviews are brought to you by Arkadeck. All right. Well, this is a movie that has had a lot of advanced publicity in a scary, negative kind of way. But you were here yesterday. You did say, you hinted at what your review was going to be that I read in the Chicago Sun-Times today.
Mm-hmm.
Sun-Times.com.
Thank you.
.com. You really liked it.
I did. It's a very strong film. It's always interesting to see when there's certain movies that transcend, what they call film Twitter and, movie fans and get everybody involved in discussion and cable news channels and everybody else is talking about it and long articles are written all before it comes out. I actually saw a film critic from another market the other day say, it feels like the Joker's already come and gone because we've been talking about it so much. And I'm like, oh, get out for once. We can say Ivory Tower and get out from it. That's ridiculous. The average movie fan, even I think most dedicated movie fans, it's only the week a movie comes out that they really start getting into it. So there's right. All this talk about the Joker. It doesn't inspire violence. Does it glorify violence? Are we going to see outbreaks of violence in theaters? I mean, first of all, we all know that we had the horrific shooting in the Aurora, Colorado movie theater during the showing of a Dark Knight movie by a guy who was a twisted, depraved psychopath.
Right.
He was not inspired by the movie, right, or motivated by the movie to wreak that kind of havoc. For a while there, we were hearing about all the hip-hop movies back in the day. Those were going to, have people fighting and rioting and all that stuff. The very few isolated incidents of violence at movie theaters has almost never had anything to do with the movie playing. And in terms of violent acts where movies are cited, well, 500 books, 6,000 songs, 200 video games, and 8 million manifestos, and some politicians have been also cited as being contributing factors. So that all being said, I don't see the Joker at all being any kind of glorification of this character or even making him an anti-hero. He's a villain, and it's grounded. The Joker, this version, is grounded in an authentic world a la the Dark Knight movies, as opposed to very stylized superhero movies that we see that we love. It's rated R for a reason. It's set in the early 1980s of Gotham City, but Gotham City has never been more New York City than it is in this movie. From the way it looks, to the streets, to the fact that it's a city on the brink with a garbage strike, and there are tabloids kind of driving the media. At the time, tabloid newspapers in particular were and talk radio, mm-hmm, and things like that, because we didn't have the internet. And into this world is one Arthur Fleck, who is the Joaquin Phoenix character. That is his real name. He's Arthur Fleck. He lives with his mom. He's probably early 30s. He's been in and out of institutions. He's on 6 different kinds of medications. His job is working for the most low-rent clown rental firm you've ever seen in your life. I mean,
really?
Which is just kind of perfect and horrible and sad. So it's a bunch of guys like him, even among these misfit outcasts. He's a misfit outcast, where they rent him out to, flip the sign in front of an electronics store that's closing, or go to a birthday party. And he can't even hack that job. He gets fired because he brings a gun to a children's hospital and falls out of his pants during a soft shoe routine.
So this is the origin story of the Joker that we go on to see in Batman.
Was this based on a comic book version of the origin story?
There was a
story?
Series, yeah. There was one strain of stories about Arthur Fleck.
That was this plot.
This is an original screenplay, okay, but that's the name of the guy. And one of the interesting things about this film is it takes place also in the Gotham City, where Arthur Wayne, famous billionaire, mm-hmm, is considering a run for mayor. His son, Bruce Wayne, is 8 years old.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say about the appearance of those characters and that plot line in this movie. Joaquin Phoenix is amazing. They're in the movie.
I get it, but they're in the movie. But that plays into the origin story of Batman too, I'm assuming.
Some interaction occurs.
So yes, and Arthur Fleck's mother in this movie worked for Wayne Industries years and years earlier and has some certain theories about what's happening with that company.
No.
And so it all ties together. So Joaquin Phoenix plays this character very much like a De Niro in Taxi Driver. And then it has a King of Comedy element because he's got a fixation. He wants to be a stand-up comic, even though he's the least funny person ever. He wants to be a stand-up comic, and his goal is to be on the Murray Franklin Show, which is a Johnny Carson-esque national talk show that's live in New York. And Robert De Niro plays the Johnny Carson-esque talk show host. So you have Robert De Niro, who's two of his most famous movies are being referenced in this film, Taxi Driver, and then, of course, King of Comedy. On King of Comedy, Robert De Niro was Rupert Pupkin, the stalker.
Right.
In this movie, he's the talk show host that the Joker wants to get to know and appear on his show.
Oh, weird.
So that all kind of ties in. The movie's much closer, though, in tone, I would say, to Taxi Driver and King of Comedy than a typical superhero movie. The violence, when it happens, is very, you know, realistic and gory and bloody and close-up and individualistic. It's not superhero movies, you know, a billion people die, but it's done in PG-13 long shots.
Yeah.
Here it's done in very, very, you know, close-ups, medium shots, reaction shots, you know, blood splattering everywhere. It's very intense.
Car chases?
Not really.
So it really is very much like Taxi Driver.
Yeah. The violence of the streets is more like somebody who might or might not be the Joker has been accused of killing three jerks on the subway, shades of the Bernie Goetz subway shootings, killings. And some people in the Gotham City now think that guy's a hero because he killed three yuppies and they deserve it and the 1% should go down. That's the kind of political side on this.
Do you feel for the character?
I wouldn't say you feel for him. You see some things that happened to him that contribute to him being who he is, including, you know, the fact that he definitely has a mental illness.
Right.
He's on all these medications. The city's social services get cut, so now he's not going to get his medication. He's not going to get to see a therapist. All of those things. We see some things from his past. But that's the kind of stuff you see about almost every serial killer in every movie, whether it's a fictional one or it's a show like Mindhunters that talks about real ones. I mean, Hannibal Lecter probably didn't have the best childhood. I'm guessing.
I'm going to guess that, too. I'd go with that.
But it's more in tone of those types of movies and TV shows than any kind. And there's certainly never a moment. Some of the people in the movie may come to worship the Joker character or admire him because they're equally depraved. Mm-hmm. But those are the people in the movie, not the people watching the movie.
So as a movie, if you go to this movie and you just get basically understand that it's the origin story of the Joker, are you going to enjoy it?
You know, that's up to the person what they feel about the Joker. I would say after my long deep dive into all the controversy and the intricacies, it's a very strong film done in very dark tones about a depraved killer. But then you do have the element for the comic book fans of saying, I recognize that thing from Joker lore, even his look. It's interesting to see how his wardrobe and his choice in clothes change and evolve through the course of the movie. You've seen some of the trailers where at the end of the movie, of the trailer, he looks a lot more, or at least dresses a lot more, like the colorful Joker of Jack Nicholson
era. Is this heading into a new Batman series?
I don't think so.
This is a standalone, separate film.
Well, it's like a lot of them. It's like, let's see what happens. It certainly doesn't end and tie up everything that could possibly happen in that particular Gotham City, even at that particular time. Or you could certainly flash forward to 20 years later.
So now, would you see this moving toward an origin story for all of the different? I mean, could you see a Penguin origin story?
No, I don't think so. I think you should look at this as a standalone film about a character who's been in a lot of ongoing, you know, has been a part of lore for more than a half century. But I think you should look at it as a standalone movie, a standalone origin story. It's interesting because all the Jokers we've seen. But when they, you know, like Jack Nicholson, you know, that version, he actually becomes the Joker. He falls into a vat of green acid in that particular telling of the story. But he's not the Joker at the beginning of the story. In most of them, the Joker's already the Joker. When Heath Ledger, you know, I still say that performance is, you know, maybe the greatest of all time. He won posthumously the Academy Award.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But his first appearance in that movie, he's the Joker already. Right. With the makeup and the scarred face.
This is just a guy who now...
And the speechifying and the pencil. He uses a murder weapon.
How he became that way.
Why so serious. You know, we don't see the young Joker before he becomes a Joker in that film. Here you see Arthur Fleck.
Right.
At the beginning of the story, has no interest in becoming any kind of supervillain or painted clown or anything. He's just a sad guy.
What is the plan for Batman at the moment?
I have no idea. I mean, the plan in terms of movies,
they're
going to do another movie. But again, but
of course,
and we just got Batwoman has just come out as a TV series because Batman, and I think they did some of that here in Chicago, actually.
I know Robert Pattinson's been named as the next Batman when DC mounts this, whatever it is.
I mean,
I don't think they've announced
it. DC universe is continually looking to start all over again because every time they've done it, it's not working. The Justice League didn't really work when they got everybody together, even though some of those characters have done pretty okay. You know, Aquaman and most notably Wonder Woman. We are going to get a new standalone Wonder Woman movie, but that's not really going to make a lot of references to the rest of that DC universe.
Yeah.
They're doing the same thing with the Marvel movies, though, too. After Avengers Endgame, they're continuing on, but they're not continuations of that giant arc. That was the end of that dozen.
Where they're all getting
arc.
Together for something.
Some of them might get together. Some of them will intersect paths. But you're going to see when the second Black Panther movie comes out, and that's still I think 2 years away. It's going to be about the Wakanda universe and the Black Panther characters and new villains. It's not going to be him getting on the phone and calling Thor. How's it going? Haven't seen you since the big end game.
Monday Night Football? Yeah. Want to do that?
You and Loki ever resolve that thing? Is he out?
How's that going?
I mean, they did such a great job with those, but now they're pairing back. And the Batman thing, to me, it's like, you know, with Christopher Nolan's trilogy, that's the be-all and end-all of Batman stories. But they've done some other good stuff.
They'll do it again. All right, so you think Christopher Nolan's three were the best of all
Absolutely.
Time for Batman?
If you want to even, have to consider them superhero movies, I guess, but those are the best three. They're better than any of the Marvel Universe movies individually, I think. The Dark Knight. The three Dark Knight movies.
Oh, God, you're going to get some trolling now.
Really?
Why'd you have to do that?
Thank God Lauren's not here.
Those are fighting words.
Well, Christopher Nolan, those were great movies that just happened to feature a guy who was a superhero, but as, you know, of course, as we know, Batman doesn't have any superpowers, or is another Batman that Ben Affleck. You know, Batman once said, "What are your superpowers?" And he goes, "I'm really rich." You know,
okay,
right? That's true.
I mean, he's got a bunch of toys.
Yeah, uh-huh.
But even Tony Stark gets in a giant suit that he could fly to Mars. Batman can, you know, climb a building and maybe meet Buddy Hackett on the way down back at the '60s version.
Yeah. Although I think Christian Bale, when you stop and you think about like who was the best Batman? All right, it's not Clooney. Okay, we get that. But was it Christian Bale? Was it an Affleck? Not obviously. Or, you know, do you want to go back to, you know, Michael Keaton?
Well, I think Christian Bale, but again, he was more, you know, and I think Affleck actually was better than people give him credit for. He was better as Bruce Wayne. When he got in the suit, it was a little bit like, oh, it just feels like Ben Affleck put on a fancy suit. He was perfect as Bruce Wayne. 40-year-old billionaire, you know? Mm-hmm.
And Joaquin Phoenix in this, it just seems so haunting.
Yeah.
Even in just the little clip you played and the little clips I've seen.
He's great.
Wow. Is there an Oscar buzz around
Definitely.
His performance? Even though it's a superhero movie?
And Anna, the reason why is what we've talked about. He's playing Arthur Fleck / Joker in this movie. Not Joker / Arthur Fleck. You know, it's mostly about that man. Even though when he's sort of becoming Joker, it's not like he takes, you know, he doesn't have a Hulk-like personality change or something. He's the same guy. He's just putting on the trappings and the costumes and the affectations. It's like Buffalo Bill in Silence of the Lambs. Yeah. Where, you know, there's all kinds of, you know, flourishes and evil things they do around it. But it's
how about watching
it's
the Joker
guy.
And come home and see the Silence of the Lambs afterwards?
Yeah.
I just watched it.
You did.
Yeah. I don't think I should have done that.
No. Some of them are just too much. It's too much to handle.
That'd be a good clown off right there, though. Yeah. I mean, you could have an evil clown off. You could have a whole NCAA bracket, man.
Where's Bozo end up on that? All right, hold on. Kim Gordon. Kim Gordon has got the news at the bottom of the hour. What's coming up?